listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Delmar's been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmar, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
So we're talking about baptism today on Grace Ambassadors Radio. And our first question, should I get baptized?
And the presumption there is you mean water baptism, which is the more popular question. Should you be water baptized? And this is a popular question that people have, especially seeing that Baptists, are they still number one denomination in America? Pentecostals, of course, outnumber them internationally and are some of the fastest growing groups. But Baptist groups are still one of the largest groups of Christians in America. And they, of course, teach water baptism as a requirement, as an obedience of the Christian. Not all of them teach it for salvation. The Church of Christ, of course, teaches baptism for salvation. But should you be water baptized? Have you been water baptized? And the question I always respond when people ask me that is, why are you being baptized? And I guess, first of all, just ask the question, what do you think it is? I presume there that they meant water baptism, that being the most popular Christian ordinance, so-called. But what is biblical baptism? What does the word baptism mean? And I think it's one of the biggest mistakes people make is to think that the word baptism itself means water. And it simply does not. And we know that from a few different places in the scripture. But in Matthew chapter 3 is one example. And we may have talked about this before in another episode, but Matthew 3 verse 11, where John the Baptist is explaining in his ministry how he baptizes with water, but there's two other baptisms in this verse. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so this is an interesting verse because in the verse contains, count them, 1, 2, 3 baptisms. And so when I say the word baptism, if you immediately think of a tank of water, immediately think of water you being immersed into or sprinkled upon, you have the wrong picture of the word baptism. The word baptism doesn't mean water. In this verse, it says you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so both of those are baptisms where you don't get wet at all. And so again, you know, the immediate question was, should I get baptized? And I presume that you're talking about water baptism, but we need to identify what you mean, because in the Bible, there are some dozen or more different baptisms. There's three in one verse in Matthew 3, verse 11. Jesus was baptized twice. And in Luke 12, verse 51, Jesus says he has a baptism to be baptized with. And that, of course, speaking about his death. And so Jesus was baptized twice, once in water by John, and then secondly, unto death. The word baptism, rather than meaning water, actually means to be identified with. Some people say, well, the word means immersion. Well, that could be immersion to be identified with, not immersion into water. It means immersion identified with. So that when you're water baptized, you are identified with this element of water, which in the Bible continually throughout teaches water cleanses. And in Israel's Old Testament law, water and washings were used constantly to purify the priest as a ritualistic cleansing. And they would take their baths and washings as to cleanse them from certain activities they did, because there was unclean and clean activities and people and things. So baptism had to do with identifying them, and water baptism had to do with identifying them with the cleanliness of water. If you're baptized with fire, then fire burns things up. You would then be identified with the burning up, the purging, the judgment that comes as a result of fire. And this is something prophecy talks about upon those who do not believe. And the fire there burning up those who do not believe, those unbelievers, the wicked, and conversely, the fire purging or purifying the faithful. And so you have there the baptism with fire. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is you being identified with the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, you saw that at Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so just asking the question, should I be baptized? Well, the generic answer is going to be yes, but which baptism are you talking about? And so you can find a list of baptisms on our website, graceambassadors.com, and you'll find a list of more than a dozen different baptisms describing what it is, along with a series on what baptism is, why Jesus was baptized twice, what baptism you need to be baptized with, and whether or not you should be. So if you think that you need to be water baptized today, I would really question what you think the gospel is in the first place. And this may be something that we're going to get into, but the idea that salvation comes through you being dunked into water is just absurd when you understand that Paul explains the preaching of the cross is what saves us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. And there's no water at the cross of Christ except for that which flowed out of Jesus' side. And I know that some people make that water baptism, but no one was standing there or Jesus being doused with the water out of his side. That was something else. And so our baptism is into death. This is what Romans chapter 6 says. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 6 explains that we are baptized into, not water, not fire, not the Holy Ghost, we're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. And so imagine that. You trusting Christ's death, God then identifies you, baptizes you into Christ's death. And that's how you could say, Christ died for me. That's how you can say that when you die, you will resurrect into eternal life, because you're identified with Christ, his death, and his resurrection. So your salvation by faith in what Christ did on the cross is you being identified with, you being baptized into him. And that by faith, that's an operation of God. Colossians 2 calls the baptism by the faith of the operation of God. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that the Spirit baptized you into one body, that body being the body of Christ. You become a member of his body. And so this is the identification that occurs with you when you believe the gospel of Christ.
But it really just sounds like that water baptism then is just a picture of what you just described that happens in salvation with Romans 6. So shouldn't that be kind of an outward expression of our inward faith?
Yeah, that's the common explanation for water baptism. So some people, and not all, but some will teach the preaching of the cross that I just did, that you need to trust Christ's finished work as payment for your sins, his resurrection. And when that happens, they say, well, water baptism is a picture of it. And they get that from, again, Romans chapter 6, because Romans 6, verse 3 and 4 is really the only time in the Bible that it mentions baptism along with the death and resurrection. And so they say, ah, that must be water baptism as a picture of the death and resurrection. Well, the problem with that is that the word water doesn't show up anywhere in that passage. So there's not an ounce of water in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. What there is baptism into death, is what it says. As many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And so if that's water, then why aren't you dying and drowning when you are put under the water? There's no explanation of water being involved here. And again, if you include in Romans chapter 6 the understanding of Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says there's one baptism, and in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul says you need to be baptized by the Spirit into one body, there's no other baptism you need except for the baptism, the identification with Christ's death. Water doesn't identify you with death. Water identifies you with cleansing. And so when John the Baptist preached water baptism for the remission of sins, for the remission of sins, it was for their forgiveness. They were cleansed, you see. Their sins were remitted as a result of that. And our forgiveness isn't through water. Our forgiveness is through the blood of Christ, Colossians 1, verse 14. And so we need not water, we need Christ's blood to be forgiven. And this is why being baptized into his death is necessary, because his death shed his blood, and he rose again to give us eternal life. And so you can't find anywhere in the scripture a connection with water baptism and Jesus Christ's blood forgiving your sins. You don't find any connection with that. You find in Paul's epistles in Romans 6 and in Colossians chapter 2, Jesus Christ forgiving your sins through his finished work. And you'll find in Matthew 3 and throughout Jesus' earthly ministry to Israel, you'll find they water baptized people for remission of sins. But no one at that time knew about the cross or the blood. So you'll never find an example of the pattern of Baptist preachers who say that, or other Christian denominations who say that water baptism is a picture of the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because it's not. There's not a teacher in the Bible that taught that. You don't find that anywhere. John the Baptist, like I said, is the popular example, but he never taught the cross of Christ. He said, be water baptized for remission of sins. And we've showed before on this program, and we continue to repeat that in Jesus' earthly ministry, when Jesus was on earth, before he died, nobody understood why he needed to die. And so all the people that were water baptized by the 12 apostles in Jesus' ministry, none of them were told, be water baptized as a picture of what Christ is going to do in the future. The disciples themselves didn't understand that, according to Luke 18:34. And so water baptism cannot be a picture of that. You add to all of this conversation the understanding that water baptism is a part of Jewish tradition. Even to today, they have things called mikvahs, and Jews take part in washings and in water ceremonies of cleansing as part of their law, as part of their tradition. And so understanding water baptism was a conversion ceremony and a cleansing ceremony in Jewish tradition. You realize it's a part of Jewish Old Testament practice. And it's carried over into the New Testament only because the Messiah of Israel was being preached. And John the Baptist, being an Old Testament prophet, was preaching water baptism, identifying them with the cleansing and with Jesus Christ, with him being the Messiah. And so this was what they taught.
We're going to take a quick break from our questions about baptism, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion of whether or not water baptism is for our participation today and what it does or does not do for us. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio.
Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down.
Here on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we teach the Bible from two very unique and important perspectives: Bible belief and Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. We believe the Bible is the perfectly inspired, complete, and preserved Word of God. And since God is true, and we believe everything He has to say to us is written in the Bible, we approach the Bible from a position of faith, not doubt. That is, if there's ever a question about what the Bible says, we start with the premise that the Bible is always right and we are wrong. If anything needs changed, it's us, not the Bible. This makes God and His Word our final authority and sole source of spiritual truth. We take the Bible literally. Most people approach the Bible by trying to discover some hidden meaning, or by exchanging the plain reading of the text for something less obvious, or by redefining the words to prove their point. At Grace Ambassadors Radio, we believe God says what He means, and the words on the page mean what they say. We also teach Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. That's a mouthful, but each one of those labels conveys a specific aspect of how we understand the Bible. Right division is the idea that we must discern which parts of the Bible are for us today. That's not to say that we discard or ignore any part of God's Word. We believe the entire Bible was written for our learning, but not all the Bible was written for our direct participation. All Scripture is for us to have and to know, but not all Scripture is for us to perform today. Right division seeks to identify these different parts of Scripture. Dispensational describes how we make those right divisions in the Bible. Over the course of history, God spoke to different people at different times in different ways. But being dispensational means we also know that God gave different instructions to different people for different purposes. To understand the Bible dispensationally, we examine the context of each passage. We identify who is speaking, what is being said, to whom is it being spoken, when, why, and whether or not we fit into that audience today. Being Pauline means we recognize that as God progressively revealed His Word over time, Jesus Christ lastly appeared to the Apostle Paul, gave him a different message to preach, and made him the pattern for believers today to follow. It is in Paul's epistles alone that we find the gospel of salvation today, the unique information about this current dispensation of grace, and the operating instructions for the church, the body of Christ. The term Mid-Acts refers to where in the Scripture the church, the body of Christ, began. We believe it began in the middle of the book of Acts when Paul was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Others think the church began in Acts 2, Acts 28, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or that there's only one church at all times in the Bible. Where a person thinks the church began will greatly impact how they think the church should operate. God wrote the Bible to be understood, and here on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we want to help you understand it. by believing your Bible as your final authority, reading the words literally, and considering each passage in its dispensational context, you too can understand the Bible for yourself. To learn more, visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.
So today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we are talking about baptism, and we just recently learned that baptism means immersion or identification with, but every time you see the word baptism in the Bible doesn't mean that it's talking about water. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more by saying, well, we know that John the Baptist was preaching water baptism for remission of sins and that he wasn't preaching the gospel of the grace of God that was later revealed. But here Jesus comes along, and he's preaching water baptism, and in the Great Commission, he's saying, go preach the gospel and water baptize people. So shouldn't we be water baptizing people today?
Well, if you're asking, should we follow Jesus in the red letters, then this is a bigger question, because it's not just about water baptism at that point. It's about whether or not Jesus said in the red letters is speaking to you, and Jesus was not speaking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you can come to grips with the idea that Jesus was speaking to Israel when he came to earth, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John 1:11 says he came to his own, and his own nation, his own people, Israel, rejected him, received him not. And so Jesus said himself in Matthew 15:24, I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it's very clear to whom Jesus came and for what purpose. Galatians 4 says that Jesus was made under the law. And Romans 15:8 says he was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And so Jesus came to minister what was prophesied since the world began, and part of that included the kingdom gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, that the prophesied kingdom on earth would be soon coming, and he taught them to pray accordingly in Matthew chapter 6, and he was preparing them with water baptism. That's what John the Baptist said he was doing. When the Pharisees asked him, why are you baptizing? He said, I'm preparing the way of the Lord, is his response. I'm doing this so that the Christ, the Messiah, will be manifest to Israel. And he was manifest through his water baptism to Israel. And then when Jesus' ministry was taking on itself water baptism, it was the same preparation. So the 12 disciples were preparing the nation in following the Messiah, their Christ, their King, into this kingdom. Okay, and so this is why they're water baptizing. If you're asking, should we follow Jesus' instructions or his pattern in the red letters, then you might as well continue with all of them. And Jesus taught in Matthew 5 to keep the law and keep the commandments. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12 to sell all your possessions and follow him. Jesus taught to do the law of Moses in Matthew 23:1-2. Jesus told people in Matthew 8 after he healed them to offer animal sacrifices in the temple. And so Jesus was a law keeper, law teacher, and that's because he came to Israel under the law. All of this, of course, happened before Jesus' death. And we constantly repeat this because this is the most important thing to understand when you rightly divide the scripture in Jesus' ministry, is that all of the things you read about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Jesus' earthly ministry, happened before his death and resurrection. And when he tries to explain to his disciples in private that I'm going to go to the cross and this is a part of what I need to do, I'm going to die, his disciples, imagine someone who's alive telling you I'm going to die. You would think they're nuts, or you would think they're depressed or something's wrong. You know, you would try to prevent it if you were a friend. And this, of course, is what Peter did. Peter loved the Lord, and Peter tried to prevent that in Matthew 16. He says, not so, Lord. You're not going to die on my watch. And so when Peter reacts that way, Jesus rebukes him pretty harshly. And as a result, his disciples are afraid to ask him anymore, Mark 9:32 says. So they're afraid to ask him anymore about his death. They don't understand why he's going to die. But he's going to die in the future from that context. And so during his earthly ministry, they're water baptizing people, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing people as signs of the coming kingdom, but they do not understand the cross of Christ. And it's that message of Jesus' death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, that is our gospel of salvation today. You see, there's been more scripture than what explains Jesus' earthly ministry. There's been the revelation of the Holy Spirit. There's been the revelation of the mystery given to the Apostle Paul. And so there's further information. We have to move past those red letters.
But don't we have to be baptized to become a member of the church?
if it's true, you have to be baptized to be a member of the church. Then again, we go back to the gospel issue. Do you understand the gospel? This is one of the funny and yet sad things that really do send a lot of people to hell, unfortunately, is that when churches teach, oh, baptism is not for salvation, but you can't be a member of the church unless you're water baptized. Well, what are they saying by this? The church is called the body of Christ. You know, you walk out in front of your church and you see a sign on the road. You know, it's the First Church or the First Baptist or First Grace or whatever church it is, the Catholic Cathedral or of Perpetual whatever. And the name of the church is not the name that Christ gave it. When you're saved by the gospel, you're part of a new creature called the body of Christ. And you're made a member of this body when the Holy Spirit places you there. And that occurs in Ephesians 1:13 when you hear the gospel of your salvation, you trust it, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed, you're placed, you're identified, you're baptized into the church, the body of Christ. And that makes you a member of it. Now, you haven't yet attended a church service. You haven't yet paid any money to any church ministry. You haven't yet been ordained, anointed, or touched by any sort of pastor. You heard a message, you trusted it, and the Holy Spirit now dwells in you, identifies you with Jesus Christ, his death for your sins, his resurrection to life. And that's something that can happen whether you're listening right now on the radio, right where you're at. This can happen. And so that is your membership from here on forever, your membership in the church. And again, you haven't even gone into an earthly building, a physical building at all. You haven't talked to anyone about that. But you hear, you trust, you believe, and God does the operation. See, God is the only one that knows what you believe in your heart. I've had people tell me when I ask them, are you a Christian? And they'll respond to me with, well, I was baptized when I was 10 years old, or I was baptized when I was a child. Well, if that's your testimony of salvation, it's a sad testimony because that means you're not a Christian. It's the exact wrong answer to, are you a Christian, to say, I was baptized. Because this tells me nothing. And most likely they're talking about water baptism, a ceremony where they were sprinkled as a baby or they were water baptized as a child into the catechism of their church. But it's that ritual, that work, that ceremony that makes you so proud to be a Christian because I've gone through the licensing process. I've been approved and certified and catechized by the church, and I'm officially a Christian. And that's not how you become one. You know, a Christian is one that trusts solely and independently upon Jesus Christ's death on the cross for their salvation. And that's what you're relying upon, Christ's finished work. And that's a faith. That's a belief. You see, we're not preaching a religion here. We're preaching a belief. And when you're talking about following laws, commands, water baptisms, drinking wine and eating wafers, talking about confessions, these are all activities of religion. Okay, and so we in Christianity do not communicate a religion. I know that's how scholars talk about it, but a faith in Jesus Christ, in his finished work.
So water baptism is not required for salvation because it's a work, and we know that salvation is not of works, but by grace through faith. And we know we don't need to be water baptized to become a member of the church because Christ put us in the church, the body of Christ, when we believed. But really, what's wrong with being baptized? I mean, it's something that's in the Bible. I mean, Paul even did it. What's wrong with being water baptized?
Yeah, that's a great question because now we're talking about practical issues. Let's assume, and this is a huge assumption, and I hope that it's a right one for you because the gospel is important for you to understand. If you don't understand it, this question, what's the importance of it, is irrelevant to you because the water baptism is not important for you to be saved. And understand what I'm saying there. Because no doubt someone can respond to me with Mark 16, verse 16, and it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Or Acts 2:38, where Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. None of those verses include the cross of Christ. And at those times in Acts chapter 2 and in Mark 16, those disciples did not know the revelation of the mystery later revealed to the Apostle Paul. They didn't understand the gospel of the grace of God. It had not yet been dispensed. And so why is it wrong to be water baptized? It would be wrong because to be water baptized, you have to go back into biblical history to a time where people did not understand the cross of Christ. And so your water baptism, if you're choosing to be water baptized, is an act now out of ignorance. It's out of lack of trust for the gospel, the grace of God. If someone wants to go get dunked in water, it's no skin off my back. and it won't hurt you at all. But the idea that I need to do everything in the scripture to cover all my bases, you know, I need to confess my sins, go to the priest. Well, you might as well go to a Muslim mosque and a Buddhist temple. You know, just make sure you cover all your religious bases. And some people do that. But that's just nonsense. This is you trusting nothing. You thinking you must do everything to cover your bases is you not trusting anything. And salvation comes by you trusting Jesus Christ alone. So what's wrong with being water baptized? It does nothing to save you. It does nothing to put you into the church, the body of Christ. And you're operating according to a ceremony, a preaching, a teaching, in a time, a dispensation to Israel, Jesus' ministry to Israel, where they did not understand. They did not preach the gospel that saves you today. And so can you go back to the law and not shave the corners of your beard and grow out your sideburns so they curly Qs and this sort of thing? Sure, you can do that. What's wrong with doing that? Well, perhaps it gives a wrong impression to others. Perhaps it means you're not trusting the gospel of the grace of God. Either way, it's not something instructed for us to do. You know, Paul even says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, he says, Christ sent me not to baptize. People say, well, Paul water baptized. Well, this is true. Paul was water baptized, and he water baptized some. But Paul was given the revelation of the mystery, and over many times of Jesus revealing to him and teaching him this new information, the gospel of grace of God, eventually Jesus explained to him, I didn't send you to water baptize. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize. And he thanks God in 1 Corinthians 1 that he baptized no one else. He said he baptized some of them, but he thanks God he baptized no one else. And so this is not the testimony of a Baptist preacher who count their baptisms. This is not the testimony of someone who prides themselves in making people members of the body of Christ, they think, by water baptism. Baptism matters to those folks. But if you trust Christ's finished work, water baptism has no significance in you being saved and you being a part of the church. It's Christ's work that has all the significance, all the glory, all the emphasis, all your faith should be in that. And so, again, what's wrong with it? Well, if Paul continued water baptized, it would have been wrong for Paul to continue water baptizing because he says, Christ sent me not to do it. And if he did it, he would have been in disobedience of Jesus Christ. And so it's the same thing for us today. As we follow Paul's pattern and Paul's gospel, the preaching of the cross, why would we water baptize? It's not for salvation. It's not for church membership. You're going to distort and distract from the message. And so at the very least, it's confusing and distracting from the true message of the preaching of the cross, and at the very worst, it deceives people about what the truth is about you being a part of the church.
Water baptism is a confusing and yet popular topic in Christianity, and we encourage you to contact us with your questions about water baptism. You can go to graceambassadorsradio.com and leave us a message on our contact form. Or if you would rather write us a note, you can address your envelope to Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986. Or if you'd prefer to give us a call, you could call us at 828-528-1177, and you can leave us a voicemail there, and we'll be sure to get back in touch with you. Again, that number is 828-528-1177. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio.
The robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.